Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The podcast world is growing bigger every day, and Himalaya wants to help you navigate it. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and some future faves. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has got your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters some love with the Himalaya Tip Jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and we're adding cool new features every day. Go to your app store and download Himalaya. That's H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A. And don't forget to follow Worst First once you're there. Love, Brittany. Are here today at Worst First. I'm so grateful for all of you that have been listening and watching and leaving comments and rating and everything. It means so much to me because it's all I have in life right now. So thank you so much for that. We have an incredible guest today. Obviously, you're already looking at him for when you see this live. It's Brandon Boyd from Incubus. Oh my God. So glad you're here.
Yay.
I am so happy to have you here, actually. It's so crazy. You. Guys, I have kind of an insane backstory of how I know Brandon.
Everyone loves a good backstory.
It's like kind of creepy, actually.
Origin stories.
This is an origin story. Okay. So when I was like 16 in high school, with disgusting, those, I had clear braces.
They were awful though.
Cause like, you know, they always turn yellow. So it just looks like you have disgusting teeth. Right.
Right.
So I was obsessed with Incubus. Me and my best girlfriend, Nadina, we were obsessed with you guys. Like we were like your favorite top band, like had all your albums, everything just were dying. And you guys came to Philly. And her and I were like, you know what? We're going to go to that show and we're going to get backstage. And that was our goal, okay? And we had general admission, like we had like nosebleed seats, right? Because that's like all we could afford. We were like 16 working at pizza joints. Yeah. So we had these nosebleed seats, but somehow, and I don't know how, we managed to get in the front row of the show. We like
sheer determination.
Dude, I don't know what it was. It was like luck. Like we just kept squeezing through people and we managed to get in the front. And my girlfriend who was really, really pretty. She's still very beautiful, like really gorgeous, right? Mm-hmm. So one of your roadies or stagehands, right, sees her and I, mostly her because I had the crazy teeth. And he's like, not the girl with the chunky braces, the other one. He sees her and he comes up to us and goes, hey, do you guys want to go backstage? And we were like, oh, fuck yeah, totally. And he's like, here you go. Here's two passes and gave us backstage passes.
My inner parent, I'm not a parent yet, but my inner parent is just cringing right now.
Right. Like so shady. And we're 16, by the way. Okay. So we're like totally like not grown up enough to be doing this. And so he gives us these backstage passes and we're so excited. But meanwhile, my girlfriend was, we were hanging with these guys and she's getting wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So we go backstage and she's so drunk. She can barely walk.
Oh my
and
gosh.
She pees herself, literally on the floor as your roadie guy's walking us backstage.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, you're ruining this for us. I was going to kill her. I was like, fuck, like, yeah, you ruined this, right?
And you should have peed yourself too and been like, it's a Philly thing.
Yeah, we just fucking pee everywhere. It's all good, dude. Just peeing all over the floor. It's chill. So he's like, dude, she's way too drunk. I can't bring her back like this. Obviously, right?
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm hearing this for the first time right now.
Oh my God, I know. I'm like giving him trauma. I know, right? He's like here to be traumatized. So then we leave because we can't do anything. She peed her pants. Like, it was disgusting. The guy's like, I'm not bringing your fucking piss stained friend back with me. So I was like, what about me? He's like, no, you got chunky braces. I was like, fuck. So we leave, we go home, but I was still determined. Okay. And I was so mad at her. I was like, fuck, dude, like, you ruined this whole thing. Like, all I want to do is meet them. They're like my idols, all this shit, right?
Hand her your drink.
Yeah. I was like, fuck, why'd you have to be so wasted? See, alcohol's the worst. Anyway, so the next night you guys were playing again.
Okay.
And it was one of those months where, like, I could easily change the number. Like, backstage passes back then were like the sticker, that fabric sticker that you just stuck to your clothing and like had like a date and Sharpie.
Oh my God.
So it wasn't like...
What you're revealing to me, you haven't even finished your story, is that you're extremely resourceful already. I'm already... Okay, continue.
So guys, just letting you know, if you're a stalker, don't ever give up because it can happen for you, okay? Right. Look, he's here right now. I have him. He's captured. He's in this tiny room with me. No, I'm just kidding. So basically, I changed the date on the freaking sticker. Uh-huh. And I go to the show the next night, but I didn't have tickets.
Right.
So I freaking somehow...
Was it the Electric Factory?
It wasn't. It was like the big one. It was the
PNC?
Philly...
In Jersey. I'm sorry.
It was one of the big arenas. It wasn't the Electric Factory. The Electric Factory would have been so easy to sneak
into. And we did two nights at an arena?
You did two nights at an arena. You guys were, it was a huge thing.
Okay.
This was years ago, obviously. Okay. So I sneak in somehow. I didn't have tickets. I just had a backstage pass. I sneak in. I drove by myself to Philly, okay? And I get backstage. I don't know. I just kept walking around like I knew what I was doing, right? And I had the sticker on, so no one said anything to me.
You held your bladder. That's
I did. And I didn't drink anything.
She's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I just looked like I knew what I was doing. Like, if you look like you know what you're doing in life.
That's been my trick the whole time. I've gotten into so many shows, even before Incubus was like people recognized us as a band.
Yeah.
I saw how people got backstage, and it was mostly just a nod and a confident walk past security.
Thank you.
So we just literally basically ruined it for everybody else.
Everyone else is just going to start doing this. You're going to be mad people showing up backstage like, what's up, bro? Yeah. And like just walking with like fake stickers on them.
Right.
So yeah. So I just kept looking confident and I was by myself and I was walking like, you know, nodding at people, whatever. And then I get to like your dressing room area where like you guys were hanging out and there's a guy checking IDs. Obviously, because you guys have that kind of protection. He needs to make sure everyone who comes in the room is 21 or 18. I think it was 18. I don't know what it was.
I didn't even know we had that. Like, wow. I mean, I'm happy that we did.
Yeah, they did. They protect you guys. They protect you guys. There's a security guy and he's big guy.
Yeah. Were we having a party or something?
You were having a party. You guys were playing like poker and playing around. It was fun. Not like actual poker, just like playing around.
We were playing CeeLo. That's what been our game. For many, many, many years.
Okay, so you're playing that.
Yeah.
You guys were having such a good time. I was like, oh my God, I could like see everyone hanging out, having fun. I was like, fuck, I gotta get in there, right? Uh-huh. So then your opening band, and I don't remember who they were. Like, I pulled one of the guys aside and I was like, yo, I was like, I have a backstage pass, but I'm only 16. I was like, can I get in here? And he's like, oh shit, yeah, totally. And he like just put his arm around me and walked me past the fucking security guard. And then boom, I'm in the room and I'm hanging out with you.
Right. If you tell me what year it was, I could tell you which opening band was contributing to the delinquency of minors in that occasion.
It was either like 2004 or like 2003.
Okay, I'm not going to say their names.
Dead. So basically, he like walks me in and I'm hanging out with you guys and there's not many people back there. Like, it's literally just you guys and like everyone's chilling. There's not like a ton of girls or anything like that. You guys are totally mellow, which I thought was so cool. And like, I totally had a conversation with you, which I don't expect you to remember, and took a picture with you. And you were so nice and so cool. And I was like, oh my God, he's just as cool as I imagined and everything like that. And it was like the best night of my life.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was so happy to meet you. And it was awesome. Yeah. And so that happened. So, and now you're here, which is crazy.
I know, huh?
So I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, life is bonkers. It really is. Like, it's actually kind of insane. So then I end up moving to LA, like, cut to me moving to LA, whatever, end up all this Vine stuff. And here I am, which is so bananas.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a crazy ride. But I mean, man, life just takes some twists and turns and then it comes full circle.
It usually does. Yes.
It really does. Right? Yeah. The circle of life.
The circle of life.
Yeah. So I wanted to share that story. So if you're a stalker, just never give up on your stalker dreams because it can happen for you.
I don't think you needed to tell them that. Just by nature of being. By the way, who would have ever thought that stalkers as a breed were so ahead of the curve?
Dude, so ahead of the curve.
Now it's like when you like meet somebody and say you want to go on a date with them, it's like you just do some mild stalking beforehand.
You do. Everyone's a stalker.
Give them a Google, check out their Instagram. There's some suspicious behavior here. I don't know if I'm going to do this. Or you go down the rabbit hole.
Dude, we're all stalkers now. It's kind of crazy, right?
It's a very strange
like voyeurs. I mean, we can go and look at someone's whole life online. It's bananas.
A curious version of their life, though. Have you heard the term the curated self?
No.
I'm guessing it's sociologists that coined the phrase, but it's used in the sense that we are putting out these versions of ourselves through social media mostly. That is a kind of self-curated, it's like the best version that we put forward, but it is only mildly representative of reality.
Our highlight reel.
It's the highlight reel, exactly. Mm. That's a better way of putting it.
God, isn't that the truth? That's why I'm a little different in a sense, because I put all my dark shit on there too. Like if I'm having a bad day or if I'm like having like a whatever moment, I post about it. Because I'm just like, you know what? I don't want people to think that I just have this great life and I'm taking all these fit pics all the time. My life is great. No, I post everything. I'm like,
because that's actually really beneficial, I'm sure, because that is more representative of like a normal experience, quote unquote normal experience, even though your life isn't normal.
Not at all.
You know, my life isn't normal in the grand scheme of things either. But even people who have public jobs or jobs where put them in the spotlight, they get diarrhea sometimes. They get depressed sometimes. They get a flat tire. They go to jail occasionally. You know what
I mean?
Thank you.
They're normal.
There's no such thing as the life that you see, you know, the most glittery, glitzy versions of people on Instagram and social media. That stuff is mostly an illusion.
Dude.
It helps to keep that in perspective.
Yes, and thank you. And that's so true. Like people look at these girls and they fantasize. They're like, oh my God, I wish I could be like them. It's not real.
Yeah.
Most of it's not real, you know? So it's really sad. But speaking of crazy things and stories, I don't know if you gave some time to think about your worst experience. And it can be a job.
Worst experience like of my life?
It could be anything. But mostly most people do their worst date experience.
So when we talked earlier, I've been thinking about that and I'm completely drawing a blank on what my worst first date was.
Okay.
I have, in talking to many of my other friends over the years, I've learned that I have not dated that many people in
my
life.
That's cool.
It's nothing really. It's just how it's been. I've been really kind of like
choosy.
Good. Yeah. Picky, kind of guarded.
Good.
In who I've sort of like interacted
with. Into your
circle. Yeah. Not completely innocent, but also not, you know, I think I probably dated less people than the average person my age.
That's awesome.
So, and I guess it's maybe some kind of a blessing that I can't think of a worst first date.
Really?
I really can't think of one.
You've never had like a bad experience where the girl was like crazy or annoying or like anything happened?
Sure, but nothing that's really like noteworthy.
Really?
Where there's been a few first dates where I'm kind of like, nice to meet you. And what time did you say your flight was? That kind of a thing.
Dead. He's like this podcast. He's like, I gotta go. See ya. Gotta go record. I gotta get out of here. That's so crazy. So
can you recall a first worst date?
Oh my God. I have literally like 1,000. Living in LA.
So bad?
Oh, well, I mean, I've told this story one time where basically like the guy lies and, you know, I went on a date with this doctor. I was going to my psychiatrist. I've told this story before and I was coming down the elevator And this doctor is in the elevator.
Heavy quotes around doctor?
No, he's a real doctor.
Okay, okay.
He's a real doctor, but I just do that because it's like the story gets bananas. I've told the story, but I don't know. I've told it on here, I think, maybe. But anyway, I'll tell it again. So I'm in the elevator. I'm coming down this elevator, and there's this doctor, and he's really handsome, and he's in the elevator. And
Dr.
I'm like,
Handsome.
Dr. Handsome. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he's like staring at me. And then he's
did he have
like,
a stethoscope around his?
He did. I mean, he was a doctor. No. Doctor. He was a real doctor, though. He was a cardiologist. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God! And he's so handsome. And I was young, and he like, and he was staring at me, and I was like, hi. And he's like, hi. He's like, you're so beautiful. Can I take you on a date?
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, that's so brazen and cool. Cause people don't really do that in LA.
I have to admire that if it's coming from a place of like genuine, like. Interest in somebody and not just like some creepy come on that I have to, you have to appreciate that kind of audacity. Cause you can be like, no, or you can be like, yeah,
exactly.
I will go on a date with you.
And he was so handsome. Like, I'm sure if you walked up to a girl and were like, oh my God,
I'm a doctor.
Or no, even just you, I'm fucking Brandon Boyd. I'm like, you're so beautiful. Do you want to go on a date? Any girl would probably be like, fuck yeah. Like totally.
If I was like sort of turning it up though, I think I would go by professor. I'm Professor Boyd.
I'm Professor Boyd. They're like, whatever. I don't care. I love you. I go on a date with you. Totally.
Aren't you the singer of that band?
Yeah. Like, fine, I want to. Yeah. Totally. Right. So he goes, you know, and then he hands me his card and he goes, just text me your number or call me. Right. And I look at his card and it's a cardiologist. And I was like, right. Oh my God, so amazing. This cardiologist, young, hot cardiologist asking me on a date. So I text him or I call him. I don't remember. This was a long time ago. I don't know if we had texting yet. And so I call him and he's like, okay, I'll pick you up. We're going to go to like this really nice restaurant in Beverly Hills. And, you know, I'm so excited. He picks me up in his Porsche. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so impressed. You know,
did he have one of those phones in the Porsche with the curly?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, this wasn't that long ago. He had it, right. I'm like, thanks. I'm old, but I'm not that old. Yeah. So he had a, you know, he had a beautiful Porsche and I'm like driving this like beater Volkswagen. I'm like, oh my God, like, oh God. I'm like, so I'm so excited. I get in the car with him. He's so sweet. He takes me to the restaurant. Mm. He's like, it's this beautiful restaurant in Beverly Hills. So expensive. Like literally I could like never have afforded it at the time. And right. So he goes, order whatever you want, you know, as many drinks as you want, whatever food you want. He's like, we'll have everything on the menu, right? Wow. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And like the waiters all know him. And he's like this big hotshot, right?
I'm taking dating notes right now, by the way.
Are you?
No.
Okay. I'm like, I was going to say, you don't really need to do that to impress a girl. You could take a girl to like McDonald's. She'd be like, I went on a date with Brandon Boyd. It's great.
Take someone to McDonald's, but go on.
Right. You're like, I don't eat that food. Thanks. So we're sitting at this restaurant. Everything's going beautifully. The conversation is great. You know, we're coming to the end of the dinner. Mm-hmm. And I see him start going like this. And the waiter brings over the bill.
Oh,
and I see
no.
him just kind of adjusting himself and checking his pockets. And I'm sitting there pretending not to notice because I'm fucking broke. I literally maybe have maybe like $150 in my bank account, right?
Right.
Literally, he's going like this, like checking. And then he finally looks up at me and goes, hey, I must have forgotten my wallet. Do you mind getting this one and I'll get the next one? Dude, I was the brokest.
And he took you to like Dorsey.
Dude, he took me to like the fucking like the president was serving us food. Like it was crazy expensive. Okay.
Wow.
And I was in my little like hipster jean jacket, like totally broke, clearly like not able to afford this restaurant.
Right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, having a fucking internal panic attack. Cause I'm like, I'm going to bounce my, you know, card cause trying to pay for this. Right.
Wow.
And I maybe had like, I don't know, my dad would give me like $1,500 a month just to survive, but that was for rent. Okay. Sure. So I had basically zero. Right. So the bill was like almost like $2,000 cause he'd ordered
what
all
did you
this.
Order?
Dude, I don't even remember, but it was like, you know, whatever, escargot. I'm all snails. I'm like, so uncultured. I'm like, escargot.
That's snails.
Right. Snails. Okay. So it's fucking snails. J'ai tout dit français, Nicole. J'ai parlé un peu.
That's way more than me.
Parlé un peu. Yeah. So I basically ordered he ordered everything on the menu. And he, meanwhile, by the way, was drinking a lot. He drank like 2 full bottles of wine, like himself. I mean, we were there. This was like a 4-hour dinner. This was like a great, like, you know, when you have a really great time with someone and the time just kind of goes and you're just spending all your time there. Like, we closed the place, right?
Wow.
So this bill was bananas and I was shitting my pants. And so I was like trying to be cool because I was like, I don't want to like ruin this because we had such a good, you know, conversation. And I was, you know, he's like this hot doctor. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to act cool and take care of it. I know. Should I not have done that?
No, good on you. That's awesome. But where did it go from there? Did he pay you back?
Okay, so this gets so much worse. This is why it's a worse verse. So I put my card down. I pay for it. Thank God it goes through. I don't know how. It like was in the red the next day. My dad called me. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. So I get home that night. He drops me off. I don't even know why I got in the car with him, though, because he was like fucking wasted.
Wow.
Guys, do not get in the car with people that have had like four bottles of wine. Honestly, like just
and
you don't.
You just picked up a $2,000.
And job. You just picked up a $2,000 job. You're like, okay, you can take my life and my money. So I'm in the car with him. He's driving erratically like a psycho. Uber and Lyft weren't out yet. Otherwise, I would have totally done that. And, you know, getting a cab in LA back then, it was like not even heard of. Like it wasn't New York City.
Right.
So we get home safely. Thank God I get home safely. And I told him before I got out of the car, I said, hey, listen, just call me and let me know you got home okay. Because I was honestly worried because he was pretty drunk and it was not cool that he was driving.
Right.
So he calls me about like 20 minutes later and he still sounds really drunk. And he goes, hey, I'm just calling you to let you know I got home okay. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad you're home okay. And he's like, but you're not going to believe what happened. And I was like, oh no, what happened?
Try me.
Right? I'm like killing myself, getting ready to call my dad to like pay him with my kidney. He's all, I got pulled over by the cops. And I was like, oh my God.
It sounds like this was his worst first date.
Right, right. I was like, what did you do? And he's like, no, it's okay. I pulled out my wallet and showed him I was a doctor and they let me go.
So he had his wallet. What?
So I said, excuse me? And then he realized what he said and he was like, and I was like, you just said you had your wallet? Why did you say you didn't have your wallet? And he was like, literally quiet for like almost a full minute. And then he goes, I just went through a really crazy divorce.
Oh my God.
My ex-wife took everything from me. And I vowed that the next girl I went out with, I was going to make sure she wasn't after me for my money. So I make them pay for the first date. And he goes, don't worry. I'll pay you back. I'll take you for a massage. And I was like, dude, this is so fucked. Like, I don't even want to go on another date with you.
Uh-uh. In fact, I might call the police.
Right? Like, why would you test me like that? It's so freaking weird. And so I was like, you know what? Actually, you can leave me half the bill in a check on my doorstep. You know where I live. Mail it to me, whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll call it good.
Right.
And he was like, okay, I'll do that. Never paid me back. Never paid me for half of it. Never heard from him again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where does Dr. Handsome work?
Cedars. Bitch, I want to say his name so bad, but I will not.
Well, there aren't that many like really handsome doctors.
Cardiologists.
That drive,
yeah.
That drive Porsches. So.
Yeah. So just we can so figure it out. Know. Yeah. We got your number over here. Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break. Here's a quick word from our sponsors. Hang in there and we'll tell you the rest of what happened in this story. We're here with Brandon Boyd. I'm so excited. I want to talk about his game coming up. He made a game. We're going to talk about that. Okay, stay tuned.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So that was a great break.
Wow.
Do you feel rested?
I do. Your sponsors are awesome.
They're so fast. Okay. So enough about me. I want to talk more about you. I feel like this whole podcast has been about me and I want to talk about you.
I love learning about you and your experiences here. Yeah, that's pretty wild. I honestly think that you handled that really well.
I did.
Just, I mean, even though it didn't like end well, like your assertion that like, you know what, bro, give me half.
Yeah.
And then we're done. Like that was a really big move to even like think like,
should I have said that?
Yeah, I think that was the right thing to do. Yeah, okay. That was on the up and up. But then the fact that he like just never
he just
paid.
Didn't.
Yeah, and like, he works at Cedars. Come on,
dude.
Man.
He makes bank, but his wife apparently just took him to the cleaners. His ex-wife. So he was like, I have nothing. All I have is my car and my apartment. He was like giving me the sob story, and I was like, dude, I have no dollars in my bank account. Like, I'm living off of Top Ramen and like mattress fiber. Like, I literally have nothing. Like,
just nibbling on a little bit.
Yeah,
of mattress
like
fiber
there's a hole in my wall that I can see outside. Like, you don't even know. Like, don't plead the fifth. You know what I mean? Like, don't make me feel bad for you because it's so much worse over here. I've been wearing the same clothes for 7 weeks. Like, it's kind of crazy. Anyway, so I want to talk to you. You're an artist on top of being you're an artist in more than one sense of the word. You're a musician. You're an artist that draws and paints. Mm-hmm. And you're literally like the epitome of an all around artist, which
thank
is
you.
So cool. And yes. I love that because I draw and I paint. And so I've always like admired that about you. And you came out with this game and it says it's how does this? It's an optimistic memory game, which I love. Optimistic memory game.
Yeah.
And you spelled it like mystic.
Yeah, I love playing with words. That's kind of the first thing. And so optimistic was this thing that I started, this moniker, I suppose, that I started to play with, maybe 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I started doing limited runs of just like t-shirts that had like just different, like it said optimistic on them. One of them said, I fuck on the first date, but with like an I.
Dead, do
like,
you?
Like I fuck on the first date.
Oh.
Just so like playing with words and playing
with
words.
I fuck people, but you don't fuck them.
On the first date. It depends, I suppose. Depends on how.
Exactly.
Depends on if you paid for dinner.
Oh, dead. Well, hey, hello. Easy target over here. Right. No, this is so cool. And I opened it up and it's like your drawings.
Yeah,
are on
so
the cards.
I did. I draw
this.
And I paint when we tour because it's a much better way to spend time in hotel rooms and stuff than like watching TV or being on the internet or something. If I can't like walk around and see the place that I'm in, I usually paint.
I love these though. Like I actually, and so the really cool thing about it guys is that there's all these cool drawings on the cards and you put them all, like the game is you put them face up, right? And then it's a memory game.
You put them face down.
Oh, face down. All face down. And then
it's, so the game is called Two Doors and you are attempting to remember where each
thing
of the matched card is. So it basically is kind of an homage to a game called Memory.
Oh yeah, Memory. Yeah. That's 70s. What I'm saying. It's totally.
But it was like match chicken with a chicken, horse by the horse. It was quite rudimentary. I think it was for kids.
Yeah.
So this is kind
like
of
like the adult version.
It's like a more adult version, though. Kids have been playing it and enjoying it.
I
found, you know, I think it's 36 or 37 different synonyms for door. And then so you're matching these different synonyms for door, like vent or tunnel. Or access, entrance, that kind of a
ingress.
Thing.
Ingress. And this is a great game if you do have kids to teach them these words because there's a lot of big words too. And the designs on the cards are so cool. I'll show a close-up of this on my Instagram. And it's really cool. And actually, you know, games they say like this help prevent like Alzheimer's and stuff.
It's true. Yeah. That wasn't necessarily the reason I did it. I think that the reason I did it was that I wanted to make something that was complete, like the complete antithesis to where we are in our sort of cultural moment with everything being so fast and so just everything just skim. So the skimming thing is almost acts like a metaphor for how we're moving through our cultural experience right now. Mm-hmm. And especially on a person to person basis, like I use social media. I use my phone daily, and I'm even willing to acknowledge that I have like a kind of an addiction to it.
Yeah.
And so in acknowledging that, I've been forced to kind of like look at my own behavior as it relates to that and my behavior with the people that I love and my closest friends. And it's so interesting because we will, when we're away from our loved ones, we're like constantly vigilant on the phone. Like, where are you? What are you mm-hmm. doing? When can we meet up? Like, mm-hmm. what's the next thing? Here's this picture. We're like constantly trying to be in contact with them yeah. and vigilant. And then when we're together, we're completely distracted by what's going on the phone. So I just thought it would be kind of funny and maybe even ironic to have an old school tactile game that forced you to interact
yeah.
with someone or
at the
people
most rudimentary
you,
level.
At
yeah.
the most rudimentary. Yeah. Hey, can you remember where this one met this one?
That's not where it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. you have like a real like just normal human experience
totally.
Where you guys aren't like tech, you know.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And it's actually really fun. I've played it with a bunch of friends and I usually lose. I don't know if that's because
you lose your own game.
Yeah, I should be like the master of it.
You should be at the best.
I think I've won once.
Really?
In like a dozen plays of it with friends.
And where can people get it if they want to get it? Is it like at Urban Outfitters?
No, that would
it
be
should
great.
Be.
But
guys, Urban Outfitters, get your shit together. I'm going to tag them in this. Like, you guys need to get your shit together. This is so them. Like, this
well,
is a game
still,
I could see there.
It's still new as well. I've just
right.
been doing little launch events. I did an event in New York at Bookmark. Thank you, everyone at Marc Jacobs, for facilitating that.
Yay.
And I did an event at Ron Robinson here in Los Angeles. And then I just did one on Saturday in Chicago at Vertical Gallery. So certain places like those places are carrying
yeah.
it. And then, but it's mostly just available on my website.
I love that. And what's the website?
BrandonBoyd.me.
BrandonBoyd.me. So it's just on your own website.
Yeah. I have painting stuff and I've
yeah,
published a handful of books and things like that.
So. Your art is incredible, dude.
Thanks.
Like, it's kind of crazy that if you weren't a musician, you could have really just been an artist too.
That was the plan, actually. If
really?
I had a plan growing up, if I really checked in, like when I was a teenager and, you know, people ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was immediately always like, I'm going to paint. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And so rock and roll kind of snuck through the cracks and came and found me. And I truly fell in love with it. And I have a kind of an obsession with music and making music. But what's cool about making music is that it doesn't necessarily create an obsession that blocks out other forms of expression. In fact, it's created space for those things over the years.
Wow.
Or I suppose I've created space for those things because I feel like a more complete human when I'm able to have many tentacles out in different places at once.
That takes a lot of energy.
I also don't really watch television very often.
Oh, good.
So there's, once you like break the habit of certain kinds of media consumption, there's a lot of space.
There's a lot of space to
a
be
lot
filled
you can
in.
Do.
You're like, I'm not watching TV, I can paint.
Yeah.
Or I can draw.
Totally. You get bored.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Like people, I know this from growing up, like my way of avoiding boredom was to draw, or we'd go outside and we would, you know, dig holes and stuff like that.
Dig holes. Let's see who can dig the deepest hole.
We would literally dig
What's
holes.
What's the point of the game? We're just going to see who can dig the deepest hole. I love it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we'd play with bugs. I grew up around in rural Los Angeles. So like
really?
We were collecting bugs and learning how to like befriend tarantulas and stuff like
oh
that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And eventually that gets boring. So
yeah.
we started playing instruments and then we started, you know, playing with my mom's paints and her brushes and things. And so my brothers and I are all kind of similar like that.
Wow. How many brothers do you have?
I have two brothers, an
two
older
brothers.
And a younger. Yeah.
Do you have a sister?
I have an older sister as well.
Wow. Yeah. Are you guys all close?
We are. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're all kind of the same artsy.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you
That's
have
awesome.
Siblings?
I have an older brother.
You do?
But we're very different.
You are?
Yes.
How so?
Wolf. Oh my goodness. My brother's very interesting in a sense that he was the coolest guy I knew when I was in high school. He was like really into Pantera and like all like Cannibal Corpse, all this like heavy music, and he played guitar really well. And so yeah. I was like, and I was just raised with my dad and my brother. So that's why I'm kind of a tomboy in a sense, because yeah. I was raised around that. And so like, I like went to Ozfest with them and Pink Floyd and blah, blah, blah. Thus discovered eventually you and all these other people.
Did you see us at Ozfest?
I think I did see you guys at Ozfest. Yeah. I think that's kind of like how I first like fell into you guys.
Yeah.
I was really young. And so my brother was this really cool dude. And I was like, oh my God, he's like this musician. He's so rad. And I want to be like him. And then he started dropping a lot of acid.
Mm.
And
like too much
where you like it like changes your brain. And
you can, yeah.
So now he's like super, he was like one of the smartest people I ever knew too. And then he kind of like, it changed him like almost completely where he went from being like a total musician into like all kinds of like really cool shit to like now. I mean, not that he's not into cool shit. He's just a different person.
Yeah.
So, and I love you, Greg, if you're listening to this, obviously. He's just a totally different guy. Like, he's into astrology now, and he's like, he's got a great job, and he makes great money and everything like that. It's just kind of like, he changed. Like, it's so weird.
Astrology or astronomy?
Astrology.
Ah.
Like, Miss Cleo shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't she go to jail or something?
Yeah, minus the jail part. Yeah, well, we hope. So he loves that. I mean, it's not his job, but he loves it. He's like really into horoscopes and stuff like that. So yeah, he's just like a totally different person than I am.
From Pantera to the Age of Aquarius.
Exactly. That's a great album name. right. But anyway, yeah, no. So yeah, we're just totally different people.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, but it's cool, you know? I mean, I love it. You gotta have diversity. So you actually grew up in LA, outside of LA.
Yeah, I grew up in Woodland Hills, and then my family moved to Calabasas when I was—
Oh my God, where I live right now.
Like 10, I think. Yeah, and I lived there until I was 18 or 19. But wow. We started when we were 15 at Calabasas High, and then we started touring when we were, I was barely 18. We started touring internationally when I was 20.
Wow.
So our band has been together for, I think it's been like 28 years.
Dude, that's incredible.
It's wild, huh?
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's most of our lives.
Right. That's like your whole life.
It's so much
other than
of
being
my
seven.
Experience.
Yeah. That's amazing. You're like, I'm seven. Okay, now I'm in a band. Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. So wait, how did you guys get your first big break? And I know people listening that probably are huge fans of you even know this already, but I would love to hear it personally.
By first big break, what do you mean?
Like, when did you know like this was taking off and this was going to happen for you guys?
You know, this might be kind of a window into my deeper self-reflection or my self-esteem level, but I always kind of have this default thing where it's like, it's probably going to end tomorrow. I've had
me every day of my life,
my whole career.
Yes.
Even when we were selling like 30,000 records a week and like on TRL, and I was like, this is so funny. Like, but thanks for having us.
Oh
like,
my God.
It's probably gonna be over tomorrow. So I don't know, but then there's other guys in the band who have the exact opposite thing where it's like, oh, we're done. So wow. I think we balance out somewhere where some of us are kind of like happily surprised walking in every day or like showing up on stage and there's 20,000 people there. It's like, oh my God.
Where'd you guys come from?
I can't believe you're still here.
Right. You know? They love you.
It's such a wonderful thing. It's such an incredible blessing. But first big break, there wasn't one thing to tell you the truth. It was a really slow reveal.
Really?
Over the years. Yeah.
Wow.
We were turned down incessantly. We tried to get signed when we were teenagers based on a bunch of demos. And we were like, you know, selling out clubs in Hollywood as teenagers when we were still in high school.
Amazing.
And so record label people were coming to the shows, but didn't see anything there worth like investing in, I guess.
Wow. Even though you were selling out?
Yeah. I think maybe they thought we were just like kind of a
local sensation,
a local flash in the pan kind of a thing. And then, so we decided to put out our own album. We financed it ourselves. It's called Fungus Among Us.
I had that album. It's insane, obviously.
It's
I love
literally
it.
Literally insane.
I love it. I love it.
So we did that when we were in high school.
Right.
And then
I can't believe you did that in high school. Wow. Okay.
And the things just kept slowly getting more and more interesting. And then record label people started coming, but they were like turning us down. Like, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Wow.
So we just kind of were like, okay, we're going to be an indie band. And that's that kind of idea. Whenever we heard like, no, it's not going to happen, we're sort of like, okay, and we would kind of find the way around and adapt around the obstacle.
Wow.
And we've done that over and over and over. Even some of the songs for us that were like our biggest
hit
singles, if you want to call them that, weren't going to be singles if it were up to the record label. Like we were like, okay, we're going to put this out on our own and make a video. And hey, look at the video we made. And they're like, great job. And then it becomes a thing. Some of our number one singles internationally have been us just going, we really believe in the song. We're going to do it anyway.
Isn't it crazy that you're like the talent and you're like, no, like people like us for a reason. I know what I'm doing. And then these record labels try to tell you what you should be doing. And you're kind of like,
All that being said, like we've worked with some amazing people at record labels, both at Epic Records, Immortal Records. We were signed to Island Records for a time. We actually are happily independent now. We have been for a couple of years.
Wow.
And so everything that we do now is just sort of like, hey, you want to Make a new song? Sure. So actually, we're going to release a single in just a few weeks.
Yes.
And we're going on tour. We start playing shows actually in just about 2 weeks. So we'll be doing festivals all through the spring and early summer, and then probably going to be on tour in the fall.
Like, okay, amazing. And it's going to be on your website.
Yeah, everything will be like, there'll be a proper announcement. Actually, Incubus HQ for that stuff.
IncubusHQ.com.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys have to see them live. They're like one of the most amazing live shows. Like, honestly, and I've seen like obviously a lot of bands, but I'd say you guys and Nine Inch Nails are the only people that I've seen live, Radiohead, where I was like, oh, sounds like the album, like sounds so good and real. And like a lot of other bands you go and you see and you're like, oh boy, they've been really worked in the studio and they don't sound anything like them, you know? But you guys are actually like totally amazing.
Thank you. Nine Inch Nails and Radiohead, they're so good live. Dude, I've seen both of them multiple times.
So good live. So like exciting. Bananas. Yeah. You're just like, oh my God, how is this happening?
This wasn't a date experience, but I saw Radiohead at the Hollywood Bowl. God, this has got to be 10 years ago. And my girlfriend and I at the time and my younger brother were like, let's have a weed lollipop and watch Radiohead.
Dead.
And
way too much, way too strong.
Yeah, the only bad drug experiences I've ever had are from eating pot.
Talk about panic attack. Right. You're like, am I dying right now? Like, it's so scary. Yeah, I know. Because you can't dose it.
No, then I think it's better now. But I don't even mess with it now because it's too volatile. But yeah. So we each had this weed lollipop. No, it was a weed cookie. And then we had these lollipops that we were going to like, we're so cool eating this lollipop while we're high on this weed. And this band called Liars opened up for them, who I really liked as well. But they were really weird. And so it kind of set this strange mood. And Radiohead comes on. And I was sitting in one of the boxes at the bowl. And your boy Keanu Reeves was right in front of me.
Dad, I love him.
Yeah, I love him too. But he was like dancing like all Keanu Reevesy, like not Matrix flow,
but like
he was
stiff,
more like Keanu Reevesy to Radiohead, and it was fucking with me so bad that I started to go like, I'm like way too high to be in public right now. Am I gonna throw up right now?
The worst.
Am I about to throw up in like into Keanu Reeves's box? And
am I gonna throw up on Keanu Reeves? Is he gonna dodge it like he does in the Matrix?
That was what was going on in my mind, but I was like, I can't even enjoy Radiohead right now because I'm too high. This is stupid. What's wrong with you? Oh, I'm going to throw up. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Here it comes.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
It's like karma police.
No.
Nausea.
No.
And I look at my girlfriend at the time and she's like, are you okay? And I was about to like just let it all go. And a burp came from like the Timbuktu of my
stomach,
like the furthest reaches of my stomach. And it like rattled through my esophagus and my whole body and like vibrated my whole head. It was, did you ever see Revenge of the Nerds part two?
Of course.
Remember when Booger like meets like the burp sensei?
Yes, and yes,
like, Master.
Yes.
It was like that burp. And then all of a sudden, after everything just went perfect and like everything became clear. And Keanu Reeves was like actually a pretty good dancer.
Wow.
All of a sudden.
Oh shit.
And then the night changed completely. But
dead.
That's my radio.
So you didn't
story.
Throw up, you just burped.
I just had a really amazing sort of raucous esophageal rumbling.
Did he turn around? Was he like, whoa, dude? Was he like, whoa, dude? Yeah. Are you going to throw up?
Thanks for not throwing up on me, man.
Okay, but edibles are so scary. I've had a crazy edibles experience as well. Obviously, I don't eat weed anymore. I smoke it, but I don't eat it. I can't handle it. And I can't even handle like weed full on anymore. Like I've noticed as I get older, my tolerance for drugs is extremely low. I don't know why, but I can like literally only smoke spliffs now because I can't handle like the full weed anyway.
Right.
But dude, I love you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing that story. That's amazing. The almost throwing up on Keanu Reeves story. That's like
first,
the highlight.
First worst almost thrown up on Keanu
Reeves. Yeah.
Sorry, Keanu.
He listens to this. He's like, whoa.
Yeah. Dodged a bullet there.
Literally. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for being here. He has to get to the studio, you guys. He's actually working on more Incubus music for you guys. So I love it. You're the best. I appreciate you being here. You've been an amazing guest. And make sure to go to brandonboyd.me to get this game and incubushq.com.
I believe so.
To check out future tour dates because they have some amazing tour dates coming up and you guys have to see them live. They're incredible. So that wraps it up. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends, your grandma, get her on Wi-Fi. Make sure to follow this page. It's incredible. We have so many more amazing stories coming forth. And thanks for listening to Worst Firsts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.